This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Coming up tonight is a brand new concept for the NBA. It's the NBA Awards. Joining us right now is Tim Reynolds, who covers the NBA for the AP. And Tim, before I get to tonight, because tonight's kind of a unique ordeal, I have to ask the question that we were talking about on Friday. Have the Bulls figured out what on earth they're doing yet?
I think they have. I just don't think they want to tell their fans yet what they're doing.
Okay.
It's a new day for the Bulls. And I think we can safely eliminate them from the list of 2018 NBA title contenders. I think that's pretty much obvious by now. It's kind of shocking because it's not going to go over well in Chicago, but it definitely seems like that the reset button has been pushed about as hard as it can be pushed.
And with Jimmy Butler, I almost feel like this was a team that has been like dying to trade him for like a year or two. Like his name kept getting brought up in conversations even after they gave him the massive contract.
Yeah, I part of me says that it may have been the fact that he's looked at as a Tibbs guy, if you will. I don't really know what they're doing. I don't get it. I understand you want to trade your guy, but they did not get maximum value for him. They could have gotten better than what they got. It begs the question, what are they going to do with Dwayne? Are they going to make Dwayne stay and be part of something that's going to be really not what he signed up for at all? There's a lot of questions there. And I don't think he's reached his ceiling. I think Jimmy Butler is still on the rise
right.
in this league. And I don't think I'm in the minority thinking that. So I'm just really puzzled why they would let him go and why they would let him go without – they definitely could have gotten more for him than that.
And you mentioned D. Wade and with his contract. Has he signed it? Like, is that official that he's assigned it? Or could he still opt out and say, all right, I'm not being a part of this?
Well, I think my understanding of how it works, and every case is a little different, my understanding with him is he has told the team he had until, I think, tomorrow to tell them whether or not he was exercising his option. And he did that last week. So the contract that he signed last year is valid. He's going forward. The Bulls now have 23.8 million reasons to decide what they're going to do. Dwayne's going to make 23.8 next season. The question is, which uniform will he be in? The Bulls are going to pay a lot, if not all of it. Are they going to keep him? Are they going to talk about a buyout? If so, when are they going to talk about a buyout? It's a very interesting question. And again, he went back to Chicago to go home. And there were some fans that were thrilled that he went back to Chicago. Those fans are obviously not going to be pleased if this thing goes the way that we all think it's going to go.
And then you look at their second round pick, which they basically just gave to Golden State for money. And I think Golden State has even said that that Jordan Bell is going to start off in the D League. How are rookies looked at in the NBA? I mean, how many of these guys are actually going to be starting, making, you know, at least being coming off the bench? And how many guys are going to be going to the now G League?
Well, the two-way contracts, too, make the whole situation really unusual. But I think you can count on those first 20 picks, at least, maybe a few more, getting minutes in the league this coming season. I think you can count on that. For the second-round guys, the D-League's probably in their future for most of them. Not all. Josh Richardson was a number 40 pick by Miami 2 years ago, was a very key part of what the Heat did 2 years ago. Rodney Magruder, nobody wanted. The Heat got him for a steal. He started 61 games for the Heat. So if you get into the right situation, if you're a second-round guy or even an undrafted guy, you get into the right situation, you can find minutes. But it's so much tougher now than it's been just because the guys at the top of the scale are making so much money, teams feel obligated to play them.
Tim Reynolds right now joining us from the AP. You can follow him on Twitter at @ByTimReynolds. And tonight, this NBA awards show that's taking place, is this directly, like, is the NBA said, you know what, this works for the NFL, why don't we try it?
I think this is more the television partners are saying, we're going to try it. I think it's more that. I like the idea. I like the concept. It's too late. It really is. It needs to be, like the NFL one, I believe, is the Saturday before Super Bowl or during the bye week. You're still in the season. We're talking about, we've already talked about the draft. We're already looking at next season. Free agency is a few days away. I think you missed a chance to really capitalize on that. Is it going to be Russell Westbrook or is it going to be James Harden? Buzz. I don't think you can manufacture it back tonight. So it's. I think it's too late. I hope it works out. You're going to see a lot of award winners not there tonight. You're going to see a lot of nominees not there tonight. They're on vacation. They're living their lives.
Yeah.
They weren't going to interrupt that for an award show. Do this and tie it into the finals somehow, as logistically challenging as that would be, that might work going forward. But this, I think this is a rare swing and a miss for the league.
When you mentioned tied in with the finals, the way that TNT, because that's where this thing is being shown at tonight, from, I think, Pier 36 in New York City, they have the way that the schedule is set up because they want so many basketball games on it at so many times that we got the, 7 to 9 days off. Would it have been better to throw it in right there in between that dead period that we kind of forgot about basketball for a week?
But at the same time, had things gone longer, we wouldn't have had that time off. That's the logistical challenge. And then it's, do you want to have it in the city where the finals are going to begin? Well, sometimes we don't know that until like 3 days before the finals.
Right.
This was an abnormal year where we pretty much could have scheduled Cleveland at Golden State in game one in like January. Probably could have done that. It is a challenge. But I think my sense is that they'll tweak it. I think people will watch because it's the NBA. The NBA gets eyeballs no matter what. It will be a success regardless of what I think the numbers are. It just could have been a bigger success earlier on, and they need to find a way to do that. I'm one of the voters, and my vote was sent in on the Monday before the regular season. Like, I had to legit go back and look today when the rookie team came out this afternoon because I couldn't remember who I voted for because I voted more than 2 months ago.
Wow.
It's really drawn out.
So then who did you vote for best style? Because I feel like we're almost, I mean, I know it says fan awards, but like, I feel like this is a combination of ESPYs and just a normal award show.
I didn't do any of the fan votes. I didn't do best dunk and best assist and best style. I'm going to tell you though, I like the way Russ is out there with the style. I really do. But for me right now, the best dresser in the league is Rudy Gobert. And I don't think he was even up for best style, but that young man has brought the French sense of fashion to this country. Believe me, that if there was a vote for best dress, I'll tell you, my guy D. Wade, too, he can bring it at times. I would say Rudy Gobert has the most style in the league.
Wow.
Tim, I was looking at ESPN today, and Adam Silver had said during the NBA Finals that the one-and-done rule was not working for anyone, and that he said that everybody needs to agree to make a change. Calipari has come out over the last day or so, and Krzyzewski did last week, talking about they would be in favor of the rule that mirrors baseball. So either you come out, you know, as an 18-year-old, or, you know, you have to wait 2 or 3 years. Is there any chance of this getting passed?
Well, it's going to get changed. It's going to get changed. It has to be collectively bargained.
Right.
So the league and the union, which had a really, they had a very smooth time in the CBA. So there's a lot of goodwill right now, you know, all around the people that will eventually sit at this table. They're going to sit down. They're going to change it. My sense is that it's going to go to 20.
Right.
I think the 19 rule is going to go to 20. I think that's what the league wants. I don't know if the Players Association is going to love it. I think they would rather it go back to the old days, where if you can be LeBron James, go be LeBron James.
Right.
I think seeing what happened this year, seeing freshmen enter the draft and not get picked, seeing freshmen plummet to where a lot of them, you know, they were disappointed about it. There's a need for change, and I think the colleges would like the security of knowing. So getting Cal now and getting Coach K on board. Remember, Coach K, even though he's not the national team coach anymore, still has a lot of cachet with USA Basketball. I think USA Basketball probably thinks of it the same way as Adam Silver. I envision it going to 20, probably in time for the 2019 draft.
Does the NBA care about college basketball at all as far as, hey, we want to benefit the college basketball game, or does the NBA would rather these guys go into the G League and start learning right there after they get out of high school?
It's a really good question. That's an outstanding question. They do care about it. I don't think the NBA looks at itself as a guardian for the college game. I don't see them protecting the NCAA from itself. I don't think it goes that far, but they're certainly not an enemy of it. They have tried to make the process as easy for colleges and for the college kids as possible. The tweaks where kids can come out now, you know, go take your workouts, dip a toe in the water, go see a bunch of teams, go get their gear, and then come back to school as long as you haven't signed with an agent. That's one clear way that the league has sort of, you know, worked with the colleges and tried to help those kids that are kind of between coming out and staying in. I don't think they look at it, though, as their responsibility to keep the college game healthy. That's on the college game. And there's a lot of things the college game can do to help itself, but it's certainly not an acrimonious relationship by any means.
Well, Tim, you know, we're here in Montgomery, Alabama, so Alabama and Auburn basketball, they're not huge, but Braxton Key was a guy from Alabama who was a freshman last year who stuck his toe in the water, declared for the draft, went through the workouts, didn't even get invited to the combine, the draft combine, and then decided to come back to Alabama. It kind of left the roster in limbo and Avery Johnson in limbo, just trying to figure out what's going on. If they and Alabama's got a couple of guys, Colin Sexton being one, who everybody's saying is a one and done. If they do pass this and make it age 20, will it be effective immediately, or will it go forward a couple of years before it starts?
I think what they would probably do is get it done in the next 12 months and have it take effect then sometime in the following 12 months. So there is a little bit of time to prepare. I do think, though, you know, in the case of what Avery went through last summer, in the case of what a lot of coaches went through now, I think for the most part, those coaches know if that young man is going to come back to school or not. Yeah. I don't think there's a whole lot of surprise sometimes. Like, you know, one of the stories I heard this year, I forget which kid it was, but the coach knew, it was an ACC kid, I can't remember who it was. The young man had not registered for summer session. They took that as a pretty good sign that he wasn't coming back.
Right.
They knew at that point. I think by and large they know. It is difficult. You're talking about 13 scholarships at most schools. You lose out on recruits. The college basketball recruiting is every bit as crazy as college football recruiting, maybe even more so since you're dealing with so many. You can't swing and miss with a college basketball recruit. There's some guys, you know, when Nick has 85 guys under scholarship in Alabama, you know, you can swing and miss on a couple. On a basketball team, you can't do that, or else you're going to the NIT. So I think they know. I wish they would shorten that window. It does seem like it's too long. It shouldn't take these young men more than a week or two to figure it out. Let's open it up for 2 weeks after the NCAA tournament, and then by like April 15th or whatever it is, they should know, the school should know, the coaches should know, and you move on from there. You don't need 5 or 6 weeks to figure this out.
Couple more moments with Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press. I know that you're based out of Miami, so you'll understand this question when I ask it. Is the 2017-18 Cavs going to become the 1997 Florida Marlins?
No, I don't think it'll be that bad. Only because in the NBA, you've got to take dollars back.
Yeah.
So you can't just do the fire sale like the Marlins did. It's an interesting time in Cleveland. I think we all saw once and for all that David Griffin was respected by LeBron James, and having known Bron for a few years, having covered him for four, he doesn't just give out respect. I mean, it's hard to earn it with him. Griff had it. Letting him go is, for whatever the reason was, it's just not going to go over well, and it's not a great relationship. It's never been incredibly solid between him and the ownership in Cleveland anyway. I feel for Cavs fans that thought that this was going to be a fairy tale forever until LeBron decides to retire. I see this ending badly next summer. I really do. And that's a city that is incredibly passionate about its sports teams. I mean, they love the Browns. The Browns don't give them any reason to love them back. and they go through this. They've gone through it time and again, and I think this is going to be a very angst-laden year for the Cavs, who, by losing, I don't know how old Griff was, probably like 50,
right.
By losing a 6-foot redheaded guy with glasses who can't score like Griff, the Cavs got worse this summer, and I don't know what they're going to do to get better, because I don't think number 23 is happy, and you need him happy for him to be at his best.
Final question for you, Tim. We know who is basically going to come down to for the NBA MVP award tonight. Who would it be? Which, I should say, would it be better for the NBA if Westbrook or Harden won?
You guys do not cheat on the question. My goodness, you guys have a good one.
Look, man, when we get somebody that's got
strong, this is a strong question.
Well, we get a guy that's got 58,000 followers on Twitter, we got to make sure the questions are good, man. We want to get you back.
Please, in NBA terms, that's like nothing anymore. Well, I'll answer it this way. My interpretation of MVP is the best player.
Right.
So I voted for LeBron. I voted for LeBron on top of my ballot. It would be best for the league, I believe. I would say James Harden would be slightly better for the league than Russ. It's going to be Russ. It's going to be Westbrook who wins. I'm fairly sure of that. But I think what James Harden did, there's a great lesson in it for young players. He changed positions. He went to a different role, and he had the ball in his hands more. It wasn't like he made a great sacrifice. But Mike D'Antoni asked him, you're already an elite player. Can you come out of your comfort zone a little bit and do this for me? And in return, your usage rate will skyrocket and the ball will be in your hands constantly. But I need you to take the responsibility of going from being the star running back to the star quarterback. Can you do that for me? And he did it without batting an eye. And I think in this day and age, for someone to not mind. I mean, James Harden's turnovers, his turnover total this year was absurd. It was ridiculously high. A lot of guys, and it, of course it was going to go up because you have the ball in your hands more. You're going to make a ton of turnovers when you have the ball that much. For him to not be bothered by that, I think that was very cool, very mature of him. That's why I think he might be a slightly better story, a slightly better teaching point for the league than if Russ won. But I do think Russ is going to win it.
Awesome, Tim, man. We appreciate you coming on, and we appreciate you sharing some time with us.
Take care, guys.
All right, thanks, man. Much. Have a great one. That's
that was
Tim.
Great.
Yeah, that was fantastic. It's Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press. Covers the NBA. You can follow him on Twitter at @ByTimReynolds.
240-9230. 1-800-239-9544. Let your voice be heard. This is The Fallout on Sports Radio 740.